Of After the Credits. I am your co-host Maureen Antunes, and joining me today and you,
Colleen no fixed address,
Dale from digitaldoodles.com, and Dale42 on Letterboxd.
The Marina on Letterboxd. I cracked 200.
My God, you have been on fire for movies.
Holy
crap.
So yesterday, I had this list of things.
How many
that
did
I need
you watch
to...
this month?
Well, Dan was out of town last week, so it was a very good weekend. I think I crammed in. Saturday was a good movie day. I think I watched 8.
I wow. just yeah.
Well, I got up at like 8 o'clock and I put a movie in and did some stuff.
And like, I'm checking my RSS reader and it's just like the thing for your. It's like boom. It's like, what the hell?
Well, I didn't upload them until like earlier this week because I had kept a list and thought, well, I'll do it later. I'm watching movies right now. I'm having my own film festival. But yeah, I put them all in and I'm like, oh shit, the next movie is movie 200. I feel the pressure to make it a really good one.
I know. I'm the same way.
Yeah. And then it was okay. It wasn't like awful and it wasn't super great, but it was pretty damn good.
I am happy that I am on trajectory to actually log 100 movies, new movies watched this year.
Okay, that's awesome.
Versus like, I don't know, 60, I think, last year.
So your top 10 list will actually be a top 10 list.
It's going to be a proper list, yeah. A proper informed list.
Whereas for the first time, I'm probably just going under 60 films I've seen this year.
It's still early.
Yeah, I know.
There is lots of year left.
Film festival coming up.
Yeah, true. That too. So are you actually doing the film festival this year?
Do it.
Some of
do it.
I'm definitely going to take a serious look at the movies.
Okay, they're actually adding, I found out, they're doing a midnight track. Like a midnight track with midnight movies.
Every night there's going to be something.
I don't know if it's every night, but there is a midnight track.
Shit, I may have to take time off.
Honestly, I actually started looking into a couple agendas for some of the Fantastic Fest style festivals, and that movie lineup kind of spoke to my heart. It's just like
makes
I could
you
so
weep
see
with
myself
joy.
Want to be there.
Well, Adrian is going to Fantastic Fest. I think he's covering it for next projection. So I think I'm going to have to steal his brain when he comes back because he's coming from Fantastic Fest directly to VIFF.
Oh wow!
So I think our first podcast will be a combination VIFF whatever on the road
I'm
coverage
so
and Fantastic
out of vacation
Fest.
This year.
You already did Comic-Con.
I did Comic-Con, and I was best man at a wedding in Ireland.
Yeah,
so
I know,
that's
it's kind of
like,
yeah.
Geez.
But you can
Hawaii,
take, like, you know, a half day or an evening movie.
And I'm definitely doing Whistler.
Whistler.
Woo!
Oh, spike that.
Yeah, sorry. We'll try to limit that woohooing, but it's kind of hard not to get excited about Whistler.
I know, it's the best. It's
it
the
totally
bomb.
Is.
It's the shiznit.
It totally is. It is the Sundance of Canada. I am totally convinced of that fact. And they've already announced movies.
Yeah,
that's why I sent you guys the email, are you in for Whistler? Because that was the day that I got the first email about Whistler announcements.
I refuse to even
look
think
at them.
About Whistler until after VIFF is over, at the very least. Mm. I don't even want to mix up festivals in my head because that will just become a disaster.
Yep.
So it doesn't exist other than the fact I know I will be there.
Yeah, pretty much.
And if like hotels are being rented or passes need to be bought, I'll buy them now, but I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah, you're not thinking about the details. But we'll leave the general conversation for later. We are in to talk September preview, and it is a light month.
It was tiny. I was like triple checking.
Yeah, ditto.
I was super happy because I remembered I had to do my homework at around 11:30 at night. I was like going, oh crap, this is going to be hours. Oh, light month. Hooray.
Well, and I'm wondering if, I think it might be a combination of things. It might be a combination of a lot of VOD releases.
Oh.
It seems to be really popular this year. Yeah. It's starting to come into its own. At least that's sort of my feeling on it. And it's great that I don't have competing things to deal with during the film festival. Because I remember last year it was like, film festivals on, and there was like six movies I wanted to watch that all came out. And every year there's like at least three or four.
August is an amazing month for releases too.
Yeah.
Like September is still going to be competing with August.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's still a lot of stuff in theaters and stuff that's still coming for next week, the long weekend.
Yeah.
That's going to be around for a bit. So, but we do have some fabulous titles.
Mortal Instruments. I was...
Kathy and I went last night. No, Thursday night. I had to go. She wanted to see it. I said, okay, I can go. Mind you, for 500 scene points, you really couldn't go wrong. I still don't know how that works. I got to see it in AVX for free, and I didn't even have to use 1,000 scene points. I used 500.
Wow.
It was totally badass. I loved it. But okay.
Anyway, September.
We can talk off, because I wouldn't mind seeing it in. I liked it that much.
Riddick.
Yeah, Riddick. So let's jump into September the 6th. And yes, the return of Riddick.
I got to change the timeout on my electronic device I wrote my notes.
Yeah, that's what I did the first thing I did before we started. So Riddick is back. David is it Towe? I have no idea how to pronounce that.
I don't either.
But he and Vin Diesel are back with a third. Well, technically, I guess it's a fourth entry.
Because
they did the animated thing.
But it's, I mean, three movies.
Yeah, but it's basically the third movie.
And this one really feels like a throwback to
Pitch Black. Well, the thing is, though, that because I really liked Chronicles of Riddick. Like, it was totally different, but I totally dug it. And, they still have Carl Urban listed in the credits, though he doesn't appear in any of the trailers.
I know. I was looking for him. Okay, so I didn't miss him. I was thinking.
No. But I did see I think it's either a Russian or Polish TV spot yesterday that actually showed a little tidbit that would tie back to Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah, with the whole Necromonger storyline.
Which is the storyline that I really, mind you, I like the whole thing, so it doesn't matter.
Really. I liked both movies, but you're right, they're like really different movies.
Very different.
And I liked the second one better than the first one. And this one... Go ahead.
I really liked the Pitch Black. Yeah. I really liked that one, whereas the Chronicles of Riddick, not so much at all. I was like, okay, next.
I really dug the world building in Chronicles of Riddick. For me, that's what I really liked.
I just like the survive the gauntlet kind of thing going
on. And that's the kind of thing about the movies that I actually don't. I mean, they're okay, but not a full movie of it. And this looks like a full movie of it. But maybe they just took the exciting moments out of the trailer or out of the movie and stuck it in the trailer. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because the trailers are pretty awesome. Like the two or three that are floating around. And I think there's a Red Band one that's really great.
Oh.
Really, really great. But yes, I think it's safe to say we're all looking forward to this one.
I'm looking forward to it, definitely.
I'm mildly excited.
Canadian co-production.
I am trying to not get too much expectations built up.
Yes.
Because there's definitely things that I would really like, direction I would like them to go in, but I doubt they're going to go
in that direction.
Sadly.
Well,
see, better than Fast and Furious. That's all I can say.
Well, okay. You bring up Fast and Furious. I had this discussion with somebody else the other day. Like, what sort of juice is Vin Diesel giving to Hollywood? That he's managed to keep his career alive for this long. Because you would figure that the movies that he's made, he should have had a short shelf life. Like maybe three movies and then, you know, go the way of the dodo. But
there is something about his movie selections. They've just hit the right sort of level of, I don't have to think at all and there's crap going on the whole time. Woo. Well,
the thing that the movies that I've liked him in, like I like movies that have a moral thread, and it doesn't have to be a goody-goody moral thread, but some sort of a moral thread. And with like Triple X, and I mean he really plays the
bad guy with the good streak,
the bad boy that's ultimately good, but has gone. And there's like the whole kind of little bit of redemption thing in there. Riddick's a little bit different. I mean, Riddick's just like.
But he's still a good guy.
He's a good, well, Riddick is at a core, like my interpretation of Riddick, and I think this might be something personal, but he is a good guy that just wants to be left the fuck alone. Right?
Yeah.
and the world just keeps bugging him, and he deals with it, and he deals with it with extreme prejudice.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
So, I mean, I like that character, and again, it does have that moral thread running through it.
Yeah, it's going to be... Actually, the new Fast and Furious is going to be awesome. They just cast Tony Jaa. The Thai mixed martial arts superstar. My mind exploded. Where the fuck are they going with this? I
don't even know how to respond to that.
Oh, well, I know, right? It's going to be awesome. Okay, but we're way off track we already. Moving on, also opening September 6th, a documentary on J.D. Salinger, simply titled Salinger.
This I find extremely appealing. Mm-hmm. I very much like Catcher in the Rye, although I will admit it's the only thing I've read of Salinger. But
is it not the only thing he's written?
In the doco, they said he didn't write an awful lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I read it as a kid, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've never read it.
It was mandatory reading for us in high school, and it was one of those odd books that you read... thinking, oh, mandatory reading, and it actually turns out to be really good.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, wow, how did this one slip through the cracks? Because that's kind of what it feels like, because it's...
Well, it is programming you to kill randomly.
Well, you know, and it's something that comes up in the doc, because, you know, one person uses your novel as an excuse to kill.
Yeah.
You kind of think, what the fuck?
The world is mad.
Yeah, and then three people do it, and you think, holy shit, what have I done? Essentially.
And then he stopped writing. I just like the whole allusion to the fact that, like, there are two massive, like, volumes he's written that are in a safe that they haven't opened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck are they waiting for is what I want to know.
Okay. So according to Wikipedia, his notable works were Catcher in the Rye, Nine Stories, and Franny and Zoe.
Yeah, I've only read Catcher in the Rye.
Ditto. Also opening September the 6th, Adore. This is based on a Doris Lessing story. It was originally called Two Mothers. That was the festival title. They've since changed the name to Adore, which I don't fully understand why. But it stars Robin Wright and Naomi Watts as, lo and behold, two mothers who are on vacation with their two sons. And they each sleep with each other's son.
Wow, that's quite the vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. It's Lessing, so I'm assuming that there's some deep exploration of the female psyche, because that tends to be her general turn. And I think this one looks quite good. I'm looking forward to seeing this.
I have no interest in seeing it, but it was nice to see Diana Watts actually speak in her normal speaking voice.
Oh, yeah, without trying to put on a different accent.
Yeah. Not that she doesn't carry off accents beautifully. It's kind of nice.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something a little different.
It suits her.
There was nothing that appealed to me in this storyline.
It's a ladies' movie, apparently.
I don't know. I mean, I have seen similar storylines that I've found interesting, but...
This one just didn't capture you.
Yeah, this one kind of didn't.
Admittedly, I also really like Sam Riley, who's in it. Mm. Xavier Daniel or something. I don't remember his name now. Xavier Samuel. There we go. Another Aussie. He's quite good. Moving on. September the 13th. Apparently, Insidious needed a sequel. That's all I know.
Okay. You know, this is the thing that bothered me throughout, like, looking at the poster and through the entire thing. Why is the SI in Insidious in red and the rest in white? I don't know. Does it stand for something? This is the thing that intrigues me, is the font and color choices of the title rather than the actual content. And I'm thinking that probably says something about the actual content.
Well, James Wan directs this one as well. It's a continuation of the story in Insidious. Patrick Wilson, who went into the dark to get his son or daughter. I can't remember which one it is now.
Not Without My Daughter.
Pretty much. I like that movie. but he has brought something from the dark along with it. And yeah, shit's going wrong. I don't know.
He's right in front of you.
Yeah, these are not really my thing. And James Wan is really hit and miss for me, though I really liked The Conjuring. But I'm convinced that that's probably the only one of his movies that I'm really going to like this year. So I'm skipping this one.
Wasn't interested in the first, haven't seen it.
No.
Not going to be different for this
one. Not my kind of film. It's... films that make you jump for the sake of making you jump do nothing for me.
The Conjuring is actually quite good. I would highly recommend that.
All right.
Also opening on the 13th, my favorite French dude returns with The Family, directed by Luc Besson, starring Robert De Niro and Michelle Pfeiffer as a family of mobsters.
Well, they or something. Turn state evidence, and now they're in witness protection, and they're moving them all around the place, and they keep on their general mobster-like attitudes and temperaments.
Their own worst enemies.
Yeah.
I love that the kids are also part of the clan.
It's kind of like Luc Besson directs amazing actors playing characters with no impulse control.
Yes, exactly. 100% on the nose.
And when Michelle Pfeiffer does that arson thing,
yes,
it's like giggling.
Casually talking and near the end of the trailer, casually is like, oh, what? You mean like setting the grocery store on fire the first day we get here? Like it's no big deal.
Yes. And I love Michelle Pfeiffer. She really is not as active as she used to be. So I get very excited every time she turns up.
She's hit that age where she's no longer the hot love interest, but not old enough to be the matronly woman.
But I think most of it is her choice.
I think she always picks really interesting roles.
Yeah. Yeah, because I have no doubt in my mind that if she wanted to play whatever role she wanted to play,
sure,
they would make room for her in Hollywood.
I just don't put her in the same sort of bracket as like the Helen Mirren kind of thing. Yeah,
it's true.
Or the Dame Judy. There's this gulf. It's,
you know, yeah,
like
there
40
is.
Through 60. Like, yeah. Good luck.
I actually think she's at an age now where she could play either direction.
Yes.
I mean, with a little bit of makeup, she could like glam up quite hot or go for quite a...
Yeah, I mean, she's not a bad-looking lady, man.
She's still
She is hot.
Not denying the chops or the looks at all. It just...
Yeah, she's...
There comes an age where there's
true.
A lull.
Well, and that's the problem with Hollywood in general, right? It's the whole women in Hollywood debacle.
Storylines. You're either the hot virgin or the wicked stepmother.
Pretty much.
Well,
it's kind of pathetic.
We'll get to a rant on a different film sort of along that line.
All right, then.
Moving on, opening September 30th, Denis Villeneuve returns with Prisoners. Oh, my God. I can't
this
fucking wait.
Looks good.
Really?
And that's not just
yes.
the fact that I absolutely adore Jake Gyllenhaal, but...
Well, for me, it's all about Villeneuve. I'll watch anything that guy gives me. Anything.
This seems like a real step down.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It's just maybe I just have a thing for this like kid. I guess maybe I've been watching like there's been a lot of things happening in the gaming community with the whole damsel in distress storyline. Mm. And I might be oversensitized to it now, but I don't think so. Because even when Liam Neeson started doing that
Taken
daughter to kidnap him, it's just like, blah, 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 my daughter's there, blah, blah, blah. I have an excuse to, you know, rain down hell. And it just seems like it's been overdone, trope-tastic. And I don't know, after Incendies, I mean, Villeneuve maybe has to make his chops in the kind of commercial Hollywood kind of thing, but I just wish he'd picked like a smarter story.
I don't know. I'm on the one hand, I'm of the mind that yes, this is familiar and it's fairly typical, run of the mill, the kind of thing that if anybody else was directing it, I probably wouldn't be as excited. I probably wouldn't be excited, period. But he has a interesting take on story, and I'm interested to see what he brings to it. Because the trailer does not look like your typical abduction, parents on a rampage story.
If I had just read a written description, like a summary of it, it would have had none interest at all. But that trailer, for whatever reason, sold it.
It really
and
works.
It has Jake Gyllenhaal, which is like the added check mark to the end of it. Because I love that dude.
Yeah.
Some of the dialogue in the trailer was just like, God, I have seen this performance in 5 other movies in the last 10 years.
No, and I'm not denying that whatsoever because the story is fairly familiar. My heart tells me that, or maybe I'm just very, very hopeful that he will do something interesting.
Well,
with
I know. Incendies blew me away. It still kind of blows me away.
Yeah, everything he's done has blown me away. So I'm kind of like on the
Yeah, I have. I still haven't seen Polytechnic.
I can lend it to you anytime you want to see it. I never need to see that movie again. I've seen it twice, and it will be probably another 10 years before I have the energy to see it again. It's devastating. Also opening on the 20th on a completely different note.
Oh, yeah.
Battle of the Year, the Dream Team.
It's our obligatory dance movie in 3D.
Fuck me. If it wasn't in 3D, I'd totally be game to see this. I will get my hands on it.
Well, you know,
some
we
point.
Have to with, beat those damn Koreans.
With all of the
well,
leaping.
Well, yeah, they are the best in the world.
Leaping and jumping and all of that, it might actually work well in 3D.
I actually haven't seen any of the dance movies in 3D, though there have been a number of them. So, whatever. I won't pay theater dollars to see this.
I think we're all well aware of my feelings on films specifically about singing or dancing.
But come on, it's the guy from Lost.
So?
And when I saw that, I'm like, wow, that's a different story altogether.
What, couldn't get Matthew McConaughey or Emilio Estevez? Come on. Well, try harder.
Try harder.
I haven't heard any boycott buzz, so I guess unlike the Canadian promoter, Chris Brown is getting a pass on this one.
Oh, zing. Wait, Chris Brown is in this?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Oh, I totally missed that part.
Word.
Okay, it'll definitely be a renter. Give this weird look. Also opening on the 20th, thanks for sharing a story about a porn addiction. It's the theme of the month.
What's not to like?
Pretty. That's what I say. Comes to us from the director. Actually, this is not who I thought it was. I was thinking of the other one.
On a side note, I had to explain to Marina in the car here that Cyndi Lauper's She-Bop was about female masturbation.
Well, we're going down the tunnel and she's like, yay, female masturbation. And I'm like, I have no idea how to respond to that.
Looking at me startled, what?
Like, I'm all for female masturbation.
You're singing along the She-Bop, female masturbation. What? Have you listened to the words you're saying?
No, not really.
If you don't stop, you'll go blind. Come on.
Okay,
anyways,
I get it.
Back to porn addiction.
Yes, back to porn addiction. This one stars Mark Ruffalo and a bunch of other people, including Gwyneth Paltrow. That's all I can remember. He's a porn addict who has been sober for 5 years. He meets a woman that he really likes. He's afraid to have sex because he thinks he'll relapse. It's just
it looks
like
cute.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a movie about alcoholics, but with porn. Substitute in porn, I guess. I don't know. For me, Mark Ruffalo is fabulous. He almost never gets the girl, so I'm always game when they try to give him the girl. Because he's just so cute. Like
Pink's in it, too, I think.
And Pink, yeah. Not as Pink.
But
yeah, she's in it.
It's quite obviously Pink.
Yeah, very obviously Pink. I'm like, who?
Was
oh,
the
oh,
comment
real
the
name.
First time she walks into the Sex Anonymous addiction is like, what the sausage fest this is?
Yeah, it looks fun.
It does.
I do want to see this one. It looks like it could be a good time. Also opening on the 20th. Okay, I don't know if I should say this COG or COG or what the fuck or I don't know.
I think it's probably COG because that's how they reference it quite a few times in
the trailer.
Okay,
yeah.
So I have a total admission to make. I have no idea who David Sedaris is. Oh. I know he's a writer and that he's well respected and that's all I know. And this is sort of an autobiography on his early life, is my understanding.
He is
too smart for his own good.
No, when I've heard him talk and I heard him do a reading, he did a thing about being a Macy's Christmas elf. He does gay bitchy really well.
Oh,
and I think pretty sure he is gay, but he's just got this wicked dry sense of humor, and I could see a little bit of that in the trailer. But in this reading that he'd done that. When I found out about him, this just wicked sense of humor.
Because everybody kind of went crazy when this trailer dropped the other day, and I'm kind of like, the trailer is mediocre at best, and I have no idea who the fuck this guy is. So I can't really get excited about it. The trailer really does nothing for me.
No, the trailer isn't that
spectacular. It's a guy finding himself in a really lame way. So, hey, whatever.
Yeah, there's
for me, at least.
If the story is about him basically experience what real people work like every day and being judgmental and crap and then getting churchy, I'm not sure I really want to.
I saw a couple, like I said, I saw a couple lines in there that really sounded like the reading. So, yeah, if it's if it's kind of the way it is in the trailer, it's not going to be that interesting. If it's if his sense of humor does come out in the story, it could be quite fun. If and I think the caveat is you have to enjoy that kind of what's the word for it? It's sensibility or.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that seems to be the way that things are going, because, I mean, everybody that was raving about the trailer seemed to know who he was and what he was all about, and I was just left totally cold. I'm like, I don't even care enough to look him up, so that's how indifferent I was to the whole thing. So there you go. I don't know who David Stern is, and I don't care. Moving on, also opening on the 20th, finally in the U.S., because it has already opened in Canada, Jeff Renfro's The Colony, post-apocalyptic. Colleen is looking. Did I not put that one on the list?
No, you did not.
Oh, shit.
I haven't even seen the trailer.
Post-apocalyptic?
Yeah, it's Canadian post-apocalyptic.
Canadian post-apocalyptic, yeah. And you didn't share this with me?
Filmed in Ontario. Wow. At some abandoned military base. The world is covered in snow. There may be...
Snowy post-apocalyptic Canadian, and you didn't share.
There may be cannibals.
Cannibal?
Yeah.
This is getting better and better.
I actually really liked this. I reviewed it for Quiet Earth when it opened in Canada, because apparently nobody else had seen it yet. Because that's the thing, you know, it opens in Canada, and everyone in the U.S. totally doesn't care.
This is the absolute truth. You do know Canada's developing a stealth snowmobile?
What? What the fuck?
We have spent like $600 million developing a stealth snowmobile.
They're really keeping this under wraps. I had no idea. That is badass. Like, that is super cool.
Does the Colony have stealth snowmobiles?
No, but they totally should. They don't even have...
But radar doesn't go right to the ground because there's too much interference.
That's why we're developing it.
I think
just painting it white, painting it blends on the snow.
Yeah,
$650 million.
But it's
where's
the right
my
shade
share of,
right?
of that contract?
Okay, so moving on from the stealth snowmobiles, this stars Kevin Zegers and Lawrence Fishburne, and of course Bill Paxton as the perennial bad guy.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah,
woo!
He's being a mouthy asshole. It's his regular shtick. He's quite good at it. And I enjoyed it. I'll link to my review. I thought it was pretty good.
Bill Paxton, Bill Pullman, whatever.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry, guys. I totally thought I'd put that one on the list. I guess I just went right over it. Oopsies.
That's okay. We have to start podcasts all over again.
Damn it. No. So yeah, that's opening a limited release. I recommend it. I think it's fun. Also opening on the... We're still on the 20th, right? Yes, we are. Enough said. This is the one that I thought I knew who the director was. It's Nicole Holofcener. I think I pronounced that wrong. She directed... oh, my God. My mind just went blank. Something about the kids. The kids are all right. Jesus Christ. She's done a bunch of movies that I really like. This one is about... it's James Gandolfini's one of his last performances... And it stars him and Catherine Keener and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And Julia falls in love with Gandolfini, who happens to be the ex-husband of this woman that's a client of hers. And the woman bitches about him all the time.
And it starts to influence the relationship.
Yeah. It looks like fun.
It does look fun, actually.
Nothing.
Nothing.
The trailer did anything for you?
I can't even remember. I watched it.
Like
Dan
10
watched
minutes
it on
ago.
My tablet over my shoulder, well, and I can't seriously remember the slightest thing about that.
I just
even
wish,
your description didn't sound familiar.
I just wish, you know, I could be the kind of schlub that Gandolfini's playing in there and then pull off getting someone as hot as Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Well, you can because you're a guy.
Yes.
If it was the other way around, it
would
totally, not work.
I
have not been able to make that work for me, let me tell you.
Oh, we'll work on that, I'm sure. It's just the women. for my birthday, I'm getting something very special. Don John. So I get, we're moving on to the 27th, right? Don John opens on the 27th. Oh, I jumped over. Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 first. sequel to the first.
I don't notice Bruce Campbell's name amongst the credits, so I'm going to give this an absolute zero.
Do you but know, it's Neil Patrick Harris.
Well, I give it a 1 out of 10.
I watched this trailer, and I laughed out loud, and I think I want to see this movie.
So do I. I really liked the first one. It was a huge surprise.
I haven't seen the first one, but...
Oh, the first one is really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean, some of the puns with the food things, you know, like the chimpanzees.
Yeah, and like, the first one has that same aesthetic. It's really funny.
I need to borrow someone's kids so I don't look out of place in the
whatever.
Theater.
Whatever, I'll go with you. We won't look out of place. Actually, is this a Fox one? I didn't notice who was that. I'll have to look it up. If it's a Fox one, I can hook us up. And if not, we'll go anyways. Yeah, I'm game. I really liked the first one. It came as a complete surprise.
I'm going to have to dig that up.
Yeah, it's really good. I really enjoyed it. So it's nice to see that it's back with a sequel because it's just good fun. Probably the only animated movie I'll watch this year. I haven't seen any of the others.
I have no interest, but not surprising, it's animated. So
and then it's MPH, if ever. So it gets a 1 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. If Bruce was in it, probably like jump it up to 3 out of a 10 just for that.
Wow.
That's how much appeal Bruce has. He'll jump it up 2 stars right there.
The chin, man.
The chin, yeah.
I love the chin.
Or Sam Axe.
Sam Axe. From Burn Notice.
Burn Notice.
Oh, I don't watch
He hasn't
Burn
done
Notice.
Much
Sorry.
Since he started working on that.
No.
Oh, yeah, as far as movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's mostly just been doing the TV show.
Which is great, because it's a great medium for him, because he can be smart alecky Bruce Campbell without...
It's a great character for him.
...having to rely on that for an entire episode, which can be draining for most people that aren't me.
And he's a regular on that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much every episode.
Yeah. Also opening on the 27th, I'm very excited to see this, and I'm not generally a Ron Howard fan, but Rush... Starring Daniel Bruhl, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. My apologies in advance. And Chris Hemsworth, story of a 1976 rivalry in F1 racing. You said F1 racing. That's all I need.
I'm not going to watch this because I'm pretty sure I'll get violently sick, like all car race films. It's just the matter of course.
I'm not a big F1 fan. I'm a little bit curious about the movie, having seen some of the stuff in the trailers, and there was an interview, maybe that was in the trailer, actually I think it was one of the trailers where they had the real driver.
Yeah, and it's an all it's film. Been an yeah it's the one of the previews at the theater at the moment is a trailer for Rush that has the intercut with one of the drivers.
Well, I'm kind of curious, but I don't think enough to actually get to the theater.
Oh yeah, I'll go see this one on the big screen for sure. It's like I said to Dan, F1 movie, he's like, where?
Yeah.
Like we're going.
You know, I kind of figured like if Marina's only a little bit interested, Dan will drag her out.
Yeah. No, we're going to go see this. I'm very much looking forward to this. It was when F1 was still really awesome. It's now only sort of awesome, but this is when it was really awesome. Also opening on the 27th, Baggage Claim. Really, the only reason to see this is Paula Patton, who is kind of awesome.
You know, she really, yeah. She was compelling. It's a kind of a gender reversal version of The Bachelor with Chris O'Donnell.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, I don't know if I've... Oh, yes, I have seen that one. Yes, exactly.
I found nothing redeeming about this trailer at all.
Zero
interest.
It's... it kind of is. So, you want to set the story up?
Not really.
No?
If I'm not married by the age I'm 30, yeah. I might as well be dead.
Really?
Your life sucks then.
Yeah,
a woman who doesn't want to be the last sister married suddenly decides that she's got to find a boyfriend before the wedding.
I do have issues with the setup, I must admit.
Yeah.
But no more than What's My Number, which I really enjoyed, so... Feminism.
Oh, right.
I will watch what I want to watch. Thanks.
It's all pretty implausible, even the system that they use. But it's also, it's like the whole comedy thing. So,
And I really do like Paul
Patton. Would this qualify as a rom-com?
I would say so.
Because it's not quite your classic kind of.
No, it's not. They are saying it's a comedy. I didn't laugh out loud at the trailer.
I would say it's a comedy. I'd mm-hmm. say it fits in comedy just as much as Shaun of the Dead also is a rom-com. No, you might not think of it because it's zombies and all that, but it really, when it comes down to it, it was a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I could put this in the same
okay.
category. Okay, and now can I talk about the movie I get for my birthday? I get
porn.
Yeah, pretty much. I get JGL as a creepy sleek back Italian.
This is the first time I've ever seen JGL where his actual physical sort of like presence kind of repulses me.
He's sleazy.
He is.
Totally
yeah,
sleazy. He is. So he and Scarlett Johansson play a couple. She's addicted to romantic comedies. He's addicted to porn. And shit happens. And oh my God, it's Who's the Boss?
You know,
Tony Danza.
Tony Danza.
Yeah. All I know is Who's the Boss? And he's looking pretty good.
He's
pretty
come up
good.
On a lot of stuff lately, even incidentally.
I wonder if he's sober. Maybe that's what happened. Well, I don't know.
There's a new show called Bad Ink where they laugh at people who have bad ink and try and give you a tattoo that'll cover up the bad ink.
Oh,
and
man.
On the premiere of the show, they showed this guy with this horrible Tony Danza tattoo. Sorry, it just seems funny that he shows up now after seeing this freaking Tony Danza tattoo on Bad Ink.
This was another. I had the same reaction you had to the movie earlier. Like I read the description and it's like, oh God! But watch the trailer and yeah,
totally
the
works. Performance
and actually Scarlett Johansson doing that Brooklyn accent too kind of worked. I mean, only because she was playing off of. But that scene in the trailer with her and JGL.
Which one? There's a couple of them. I like the one where they're coming out of the theater and she's talking about the movie and how she wants a guy just like that. Okay. It looks very funny. And it's JGL. And I get it for my birthday.
I love JGL, but man, my skin crawled.
Yes.
Get away from me.
The first stills didn't really do anything. Like, they didn't sort of capture that. But you see them in the trailer and you're like, ew, you're sleazy.
Total.
And then that totally works.
Slicked back hair.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He nails it.
Do they still
it.
Call those t-shirts wife beaters?
Yes, they do.
I work out.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you repeat it? I love...
Oh, I love my work. I love working out. I love my family. I love my friends. I love my apartment. I love something, and I love porn. I love my family. I love my workout. I love my friends. I love it. And porn. I love my family, friends, for dinner. Porn.
Yeah, apparently he likes porn a lot.
Apparently.
And that's the month.
Awesome.
Not bad. Just a couple of gems in there.
Yeah.
Not looking too bad. I guess it's festival season everywhere. Obviously, Toronto kicks off at the beginning of the month. And VIF kicks off at the end of the month. So Vancouver is kind of a little dry for special events. Because most of the specialty cinemas are being co-opted by VIF at the end of the month. But we do have a couple of interesting things to note. The Van City Theater. Computer Chess opens September 6th. I am so excited to see this. It's like a full documentary on a computer match against, like a chess game against computers.
Oh, master against. Yeah.
Pretty much. And it's black and white, and it looks like it's from the era. It's badass. Like, the trailer is so awesome.
Cool.
I'm very, very excited to check this one out. That's the only thing sort of playing at the Van City. There may be some more titles. I'm assuming there'll be some more titles before the festival starts, but it'll be pretty bare. The Cinematheque, they're running a Kozlowski, I guess, sort of, what do you call that?
Trilogy?
Retrospective. So they're showing the Three Colors trilogy. Runs September 9th and then the 11th to the 12th. And the gentleman that bought us Holy Motors last year, I think it was last year, Leo Carra, they're mm-hmm. doing a... I actually didn't realize he was like a master filmmaker. I've obviously never seen any of his other work. But they are doing a retrospective of his work as well. So maybe worth checking out. It's like French month at the Cinematheque because they're also showing the three films of Xavier Dolan, the Canadian. So I Killed My Mother, Heartbeats, and Lawrence Anyways. And his new film, I'm assuming, is going to play the film festival. So you can do the entire filmography in like two sittings.
Cool.
The Rio Theater, the only thing worth of note at the moment is the Bill Murray Marathon on the 21st.
Oh, man.
I may have to look into that.
Yeah, the movies have not been announced yet, but they are doing it.
I'm willing to bet Stripes are in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I would
Stripes,
assume so.
Caddyshack.
The regulars.
Getting the hole.
And Spark runs September 11th to the 15th, Festival of Animation. Some great titles included, including the Canadian premieres of The Apostle and Disney's Get a Horse, the short that's getting a lot of attention.
Again, I wish I had more vacation time. It would be wonderful to do the whole thing.
Well, most of the movies are at night, so you can always squeeze in at the very...
Oh, am I getting this confused with one of the other...
Maybe?
Hmm, because it was like a... 4 day.
Yeah, this runs 4 days, but they do workshops during the day and presentations, and then they show the movies at night.
Oh, I see.
So the opening ceremonies are actually at the Scotiabank in one of the theaters there, and then the closing films are Makio Shinkai's Double Bill, Children Who Chase Lost Voices and Garden of Words. He's like a Miyazaki. Really heavily influenced by Miyazaki. His work is absolutely gorgeous. I'd highly recommend both of those. And then VIFF, the 26th to the October 11th. And that's it. I have no more.
Awesome.
That's it?
That's it?
We have nothing else? Can we talk about anything else?
No.
Well, you went to Vegas.
I went to Vegas. RollerCon. RollerCon, bitches!
Well, you're back and your liver is intact,
I think. My liver survived. I'd like to thank the bartender at the Queen Vic in the back, Greg, who proceeded to try and school me on dark beer and gave me a sample of every single dark beer that was on tap, and that was like about 12, 13, 14 of them. So I drank a lot in the Queen Vic, a lot. And my favorite was Dutch Butt. It's actually like douche boot or something like that, but it's spelled Dutch butt. So it's really good. Thanks, I really Greg. Like that. Yeah.
That's like exit in German.
Oh, really?
If you pronounce it anglicized, it's asphalt. I'm sure it's for something more like asphalt or something, but.
Excellent. Yeah, so Vegas was crazy. I love crazy. Took lots of courses on announcing, so I can announce better.
That is cool. They have courses on announcing.
They have courses on everything. It's crazy.
If you're going to get courses on announcing somewhere, it's going to be a RollerCon.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of people on roller skates in that place. It's crazy.
That's insane. Madness. You guys took over Vegas.
We took over the Riviera.
Okay, that's a weird hotel to take over.
What's that?
That's a weird hotel to take over, but that works.
Well, they have a whole bunch of sort of like conference rooms that are big enough to set up multiple tracks. So we had 7 full derby tracks set up, 4 of which were classroom instruction throughout the day into the evening. So there was always a new class going on in one of the things. Then there's conference rooms for non-skating stuff, which was like officiating and announcing. And I learned how to make an electronic scoreboard for $200. Things like this.
Do you see the wheels in her head turning? Yeah. I totally do.
Then they have one big track with a lot of seats, and then there's Skybox above, and those are for the more the prestigious bouts. And then 2 smaller rooms, one that has no room for anyone outside of, if you're not playing or reffing, get the hell out of this room. And the other one had enough room for spectators, and I got to see my first USARS bout there, which was freaking awesome and fast and wicked cool.
So it was a win.
It was a win.
Would you go back?
I would probably go back. And now I get the super discounted rate because I put in like 14 hours of volunteer time. So
nice.
Yeah.
So incentive to go back.
And next year I'll probably, if I go, we'll be announcing with the likes of like Val Capone. Woo! Or Mochismo, Mildred
Woo-hoo.
Fierce.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're awesome.
I'm not enough into the derby world.
I watch a lot of derby online, and like the big bouts, you start seeing some of these heavy hitters at them. So I get to meet Bulldog tomorrow. I get to co-announce with Bulldog because there's a big tournament up here. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dale, anything new on your front?
In terms of entertainment stuff, I am really stoked about September TV. There are some great programs. And I'm also, coming from a place where, you know, being interested in sci-fi kind of sets you apart is a little weird. Like, it is just so much part of the mainstream now. It just blows me away. It's like going from a desert island and walking into like a modern supermarket. It's unreal.
So what are you looking forward to?
I think Being Human is the biggest one. Carl Urban. I mean, the couple of the promos I saw just looked really good.
I haven't seen any promos for that yet, but I've added it to my PBR listing.
And
is this yet again another restart to the series, or is this like season four?
No,
or something
it's not
totally different.
I might have actually. I keep getting it confused with like the vampire thing. When no, it's a cop buddy thing.
Yeah,
it's almost they did
with the same name, Being Human. Oh, that's not going to cause confusion.
No, it's okay. I'm getting it wrong. If it's not Being Human, then
I was wondering about that because
it's something human.
Someone in my in my neighborhood has like a production parking sticker that says Being Human season one on it. And I'm like going, what?
Yeah, I got it wrong then. It's something. It's
wasn't that almost film? Human.
Almost Human. Thank
almost
you.
Almost Human.
Almost Human. So he's partnered up with an android.
Yep.
Gotcha.
It's like a buddy cop drama with robots. Awesome.
Except Urban just, like
buddy
he's
RoboCop.
He's enough of a sell for me. I haven't even seen the promos. I'm like, Carl Urban, add it to the PVR.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And then a couple, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. looks really interesting. There's Captain, the woman from Captain America. Legend of Korra is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Coming back. Yeah, there's just like going to be more television than I can watch in a week. But that's okay.
I'm feeling the pain. I feel your pain.
We can store it up, and I like watching them in sequence anyway.
Yeah. Almost Human is one. Helix is another one I'm looking forward to. Another one that I really know nothing about, but it's on the PVR listing.
I've been watching a lot of Longmire. I really like Longmire, but it's playing currently now. Like it's the off-season sort of airing time. So
yeah.
I get it live right now instead of
so
waiting.
So they're like on season three of that, aren't they? Three, four?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Katie Sackhoff is in that one.
Yeah, she's a deputy to the sheriff.
Everybody says it's quite good. We haven't gotten around to seeing it.
I like it a lot. There's something about the redneck sheriff that, and the glossy newcomer that's running for like sheriff against his boss, who's also running for sheriff at the same time. So they're butting heads the whole time, and you're like, yeah.
I'm kind of feeling like I should be watching that instead of The Bridge, but I'm kind of invested on The Bridge at the moment.
Have any of you been watching The Dome?
Oh, in a twist of irony, I'm like, I'm watching Marina's tweets,
about this in a
and
sec.
She says, like, oh, The Dome finally looks like it might get interesting. And I read that and thought, oh, okay, I'll take a chance on it. I started watching it and I talked to her later and it's like, no, we dropped it.
So this is what happened. Dan and I were watching Under the Dome because, well, it was kind of cool and it's the middle of the summer. There's very little new TV on.
Yeah.
So it's like somebody, and I think it might have been Adrian Mack, referred to it as hate watching. And that's kind of what it was. Like you would watch it every week, but you really didn't like it. You were always hoping because it always sort of looked like it was going to get good. So, you know, we watched, I think it was 4 episodes and we thought, Dan is like, he's playing video games as we're watching. This is how interested he is. And I'm like, well, you know, this week it looks like it might actually get better next week. Something might actually happen. And then the very next day they announced that they're going to do a second season. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm done with the show. Yeah. And I stopped watching.
Cool. It's like Elementary. I watched it about first 6 episodes. I'm like going, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I hate watching.
This has to improve because this sucks.
I like it.
I just gave it up, so.
I like Elementary. I think it's fun.
See,
it's not Sherlock.
Stop using the motherfucking names.
It's not Sherlock, but it's good.
The second you drop the name, I might actually get interested again because you damn well are no Sherlock and you don't have the right to call yourself because you're a 2-bit hack compared to.
Ouch. That hurts.
I'm just saying. I'm telling you like it is. I love me my Sherlock.
And it's coming back.
Yeah.
Next year.
What, BBC?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Another season.
Yeah, another 3 episodes.
Yep. It was supposed to come later this year, but I think they're behind on filming because Benedict Star isn't Trek. Everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's next year, but it is coming.
Awesome.
There's a preview kicking around somewhere for it.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else.
No, I mean, the other part of my life is all like technical stuff that I think this audience would find rather...
How about
boring.
Casting of an old person as the next Doctor Who?
I'm disappointed Bill Nighy didn't make it as a Doctor Who. That would have been really cool.
I thought
cool.
I heard somewhere along the line that he wasn't interested in doing Doctor Who.
You very much get typecast.
He was considered, yeah, I didn't hear if he turned it down or didn't.
Because my understanding was that he had turned it down because he didn't want to deal with the fans.
Yeah, could be.
Completely valid and understandable.
I mean, I haven't actually looked up. I don't watch Doctor Who.
Honestly, in my mind, a show like Doctor Who or Star Trek or something like that, the only reason why you want it is you want to retire from acting and just live off the avails of periodically going to like expos and comic cons and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you've done one of those shows, you're set for life.
I do
to have an income.
I have a bit of a news thing for you.
Really?
So there's been a lot of chat with, I guess, the 20th anniversary of The X-Files. There's been a lot of chat about an X-Files movie coming.
Okay.
And Chris Carter.
Does anyone care?
Well, Chris Carter and the crew, they did a 20th anniversary panel at Comic-Con, and everybody was asking about the X-Files movie. And he's like, well, you know, basically, he skirted the question, but he wasn't really ready to write one. So now he says, I would do one if 20th Century Fox wanted to do one. And I would have a spot in, I would leave a spot in the cast for Simon Pegg.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I would have interview? To watch the Star the X-Files.
Yeah, right he did an interview with Empire Magazine, and that was his thing. I would do it, and I would leave a spot for Simon Pegg if he wanted it.
Awesome.
I don't know where it came from, but I thought it was kind of badass.
That's excellent. I love Simon Pegg.
I know, hence why I thought I would mention it.
I have to see the end.
The end?
World's End.
The World's End. World's End.
I was going to go last night, but quite honestly, I was trying to destroy the world with my mind. I was in such a funk. I was physically trying to like telekinetically make the world burst into flames.
Thank God you didn't, because then we wouldn't be able to see it.
I was house cleaning, because that's the only... having visitors over is the only motivation I have.
Oh.
Excellent.
And can I just say the last few episodes of Breaking Bad are going to be badass. You guys, neither of you watch Breaking Bad, do you? You're totally missing out.
For the last month, I've been house sitting in a house that doesn't actually have television. Well, they do, but I'm living downstairs, and they got a new television, and there's like 800 pieces of electrical components. Paul hasn't quite managed to hook everything up right and
get
it
running.
But
you have a tablet. You have Wi-Fi. It's on Netflix.
What one?
Breaking Bad's on Netflix.
Oh, you know what? I tried to watch first season. It just doesn't do anything. Much like Game of Thrones, does nothing for me.
Okay, well, you're just weird. So
it's true. So I've been watching Netflix because the only thing I could get operating is Wi-Fi on the television. So Netflix it is, and I have rewatched so many series because I have
nothing
else
to
do. I'm just sitting there. All my tools and all my projects are at the other house, so I just watch copious amounts of TV. So I rewatched so many series over again. I watched the entire thing of Numbers in like about 3 days.
Oh, never got into that one.
It's
She's
okay.
just weird.
It's not great either. But like, I watched Hell on Wheels, both seasons
yes.
again. Like that's the second time through in like 3 months that I've watched it again.
I love that show. That the opening, the first episode of the new season is so good.
All I know is I so wish I could get Netflix US without all the. Razzle
yes, it's
pissed
true.
Off work because they have their selection
is a lot better,
way better. I looked online just to see what's available.
Mind you, for $8, I can't really complain.
I know, but still, like,
and they finally
they're
added
paying
my
the
list.
Same $8.
Thank God,
but their product is so much more. So, like, it's $8, but our $8 doesn't go nearly as far.
I can't really complain.
Back to Breaking Bad.
Yes.
I am still a little in awe of Bryan Cranston because when you He hit my radar on Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes,
and
did it with mine.
You look at like from Malcolm to the Middle to Breaking Bad, and like that's some acting.
Yeah, it's quite the jump.
He was actually on Stephen Colbert the other day, not as like interviewee, but in one of the segments, Stephen Colbert did a you know what this needs? A dance break. And he started dancing to Get Lucky. And, like, he's dancing in front of the audience. Then he goes back, and then it's, like, the video they've previously done. And he's, like, all of a sudden dancing next to Hugh Laurie and punched Hugh Laurie in the face. For some reason, Hugh Laurie is the only one treated with violence. But then he's going on, and then he's dancing with, oh, God, Jeff Bridges kind of thing in, like, a hallway and a stairwell. And he goes to, like, some sort of weird sort of crossfire interview show kind of thing where there's a group of panelists and Bryan Cranston sitting there. And all of a sudden, Stephen Colbert's standing there and, like, points at Bryan Cranston. And Bryan Cranston's going, me? Like, Jeff's eyes, like, flapping, like, eyelashes flapping, me? And suddenly, they're both in, like, 1970s roller skate attire, and they're on, like, a disco floor, they're both dancing, like, on skates to, like, Get Lucky.
Didn't switch to Xanadu?
No. The whole thing's to Get Lucky. That would have been awesome. The whole thing's to Get Lucky, but, like, suddenly they're in this weird disco set, and they're, like, in roller skates in the most horrible 1970s clothing possible, and I think Cranston has these great big earmuffs on, like, for music, and he's dancing away. Oh my God, it's awesome.
That sounds pretty awesome.
I just had to share it because he brought up Bryan Cranston.
Well, but the thing with Bryan Cranston is, I mean, quite honestly, I remember seeing him in A Malcolm in the Middle, and I didn't really see him in anything else until he started doing Breaking Bad. And he's since done a couple of movies. And in the movies, he's okay, but he's not really great.
He's a television guy.
I think this is his role. Like, this, you know, there's actors that you watch them, they're good. But I don't know, they're not particularly memorable. And then they do, like, the one role that defines them. This is, I think, Bryan Cranston's defining role. Because I can't imagine anybody else playing that role now. It's kind of like Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
Right? But Gandolfini, he's sort of, that air always went with him. Cranston, you see him outside of the show, and it's like,
he's
totally
a goof.
Different. Yeah, totally.
He's your stereotypical goof that, like, you invite to your party because you know he's going to do something that's going to entertain the troops.
Exactly, because you see him in interviews even, and he's always just really laid back and just a whole lot of fun. And he's directed a couple of episodes, so I wouldn't be surprised if he just sticks to directing from now on.
Cool.
With the occasional, like, he's shown interest.
Cameo.
Yeah, I mean, he's shown interest in the new Batman-Superman team-up as Lex Luthor. He said he'd be interested in playing that role. Mind you, you know, they've already cast Batflex. That's my favorite nickname so far. So why not bring him on as Lex?
That's an interesting comment. We'll see if he has the ability to
I'd rather see Casey Affleck in the Batman than Ben, but that goes for every single film known to mankind.
Yeah, because Casey is, like, superbly talented. Yeah. And not to say that Ben isn't, but
I
think he's a better director.
I want to hand him the camera and go, you go do this, and we're going to get Casey to act, okay?
I agree. He's a far better director than he is actor, but whatever.
Gone Baby Gone, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. All of the movies that he's directed have been quite good. So, yeah. Hey, he has an Oscar to show for it. So
there you go.
He's going, fuck you, Hollywood. So much for the Geely debacle.
It's not all Daredevil, bitches.
That's come up a lot lately. So we were watching clips of Daredevil the other day, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is so bad.
And this is why we mock you.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's his name? Colin Farrell is still the best part of that movie. And that is saying something considering he's got a bullseye on his forehead. Like, please. It's so ridiculous. But he is the best thing of that movie. Oh, God. Okay, well, we're still talking movies, but we're totally off track. So if there's nothing else, we'll be back before the end of September with a preview of VIF. We may try to bring some friends on board to chat VIF with us. So stay tuned for that. And also be sure to go by Row3.com. There's been a lot of great features lately. There's one at the moment on Woody Allen, which is kind of interesting. There's some, Andrew did a lot of research into Woody Allen's box office. It's kind of ridiculous, the amount of math that's gone into that post, among other things. But so that's kind of interesting. And if you haven't seen Blue Jasmine, it's highly recommended. It's quite good. But yeah, so until next time.
We'll see you after the credits. Yeah. Can you feel it, baby?
U-G-G-I-E, my body is healthy, my rock's making me wealthy, and the funky bunch helps me to bring you a show with no intoxication. So come on, feel my vibration. Yeah, can you feel it, baby?
Well, you were rapping in the car, which I thought was quite good.
1989, the summer, the number of a summer.
It was pretty
something,
great.
Something, something.
And then we were
black man sweating.
And then I happened to mention that I was watching Office Space this morning.
Nice.
It was on TV. We happened to turn it on. It's like, oh, it's Office Space. It's one of those movies that, regardless of where we are in the movie,
I know.
I always watch it.
I know. And it's
that's
just
a sign of an awesome movie.
It's infinitely watchable over and over again.
It totally is.
I can't tell you how many times I've watched Blazing Saddle. It's got to be in the hundreds.
Same thing, right?
If it's
right?
on TV, no matter where it is, I'm yep. watching it.
I think that's always the sign of a good movie. For me, at least.
I'll give you that.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Okay, let's get the show on the road.
Mm.